paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello everyone and welcome back to our second half of the season for our dark minisodes. First and foremost, a huge thank you to everyone who's listening right now. Don't forget to spread the word of the show as we now start asking for your experiences for season 20. And as ever, the email address is contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And of course, that same email address applies for any suggestions on changes or things you'd like to see with the show. I've said for a long time, this is literally your show, and therefore I'm merely the conduit between people's amazing experiences and those of us who believe in these paranormal dark things. As ever, a huge thank you to all of our wonderful team over at Patreon who literally allow this show to go out for free for everyone. They keep the blood of the show pumping, and of course for that, they get early access ad-free releases to everything on this feed and can gain access to the Patreon-only podcast Dark Bites, which goes out each and every Sunday of the year, even on the downtime between seasons. So, between season 19 and 20, we, of course, take a few weeks' break. But for our Patreons, there is no let-up, there is no turning on of the lights for a light breather. They receive paranormal content 52 weeks of the year. And also that back catalogue of Dark Bites episodes, episodes and experiences that you won't have heard, over 100 hours worth for you to binge at your leisure. And if that sounds like your thing, head over to the greatest community, I believe, to do with the paranormal anywhere, our Patreon team, by going over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Now, today we have an experience the likes of which we very rarely have covered in over 190 shows. Because some experiences, they refuse to be labelled. Not quite dreams, not quite real. But they leave behind physical bruises, shadows, and the thing I like the most, questions that either can't be answered or don't go away. So in today's experience, we explore what happens when curiosity about the unknown turns personal. When horror creeps in, not from outside, but seemingly from the inside out. It's about the line between your imagination and actual hauntings, and how for some, that line isn't just blurry, it completely vanishes. Whether you believe in spirits or the power of the mind, this one will leave you unsettled. We've spoken before about tulpas. The idea that if enough people, or even one person, if they're strong enough mentally, focus on an individual spirit being created, they can create this spirit seemingly from the ether. We in the West first heard about tulpas from a lady named Alexandra David Neal, who spent 14 years in Tibet learning about the magic that the Tibetans around her were using. One of those pieces of magic that they were using was a thing which they called a sprulpa, S-P-R-U-L-P-A. In Tibetan language, it literally, or doesn't literally, but nearly translates as to make phantoms, or as a noun, an illusionary man. Having spent 14 years watching how they'd done this practice, she decided she would try and make her own tulpa. So she visualized a jolly monk, isolated herself, and performed the rituals and techniques required to create this tulpa. A short, fat, jolly monk, innocent and helpful. Well, it worked. And this monk would assist with things like packing up tents, And although nobody else could see this tulpa, she could feel him around, and she still needed to constantly fixate on his being for him to be around. Until the day came she realized she didn't think of him that much, but he was still there. She would feel his robe pass her arm. Worryingly, as this illusion started to act on its own and become almost sentient, it also became more visual. The features that she had envisioned for the monk started to change. He became no longer fat. He was lean, mean, and, to quote, started becoming more troublesome and bold. She realized she was losing control. She realized she was losing control of her own imagined monk. One day, a herdsman brought some butter to her, and he saw the tulpa in the tent. He just thought it was a llama visiting. But that was the turning point for Alexander David Neal. This out-of-control tulpa was starting to be real to other people. So she decided this experiment needed to close. Although the effort to dissolve and get rid of the tulpa was much, much harder than its creation. It was the fact she had to dismantle her own belief in its existence and ended up taking around 6 months to fully dissipate this now malevolent specter. Now, I'm usually not one for trigger warnings on paranormal stories, and the reason being is they're designed to give you a jump scare, if they're done right. Yes, if there is abuse or anything along those lines mentioned, I will. But it's very rare that I will give a trigger warning on a story I'm about to say, and that's because I want you guys to feel exactly what the experiencer felt in terms of shock, in terms of disbelief, when those things take place. Those things which are terrifyingly paranormal in nature. But I do so with good reason about the following story. Because when it comes to dealing with tulpas, you're dealing with something literally that the more attention you pay it, the more you think about it, the more likely you are to create it. So, after listening to this episode, maybe go for a drive, go for a run, go and have a meditate, do whatever you need to do to clear the experience from your mind. And try not to dwell on it. People have made billions of pounds with self-help books about manifesting things into your life by focusing and constantly reaffirming things to yourself, and these things will come into your life. And there are strong, ardent believers in that. Well, as I always say, you can't have black without white. And that's why the subject of tulpas does scare me. So anytime I read a tulpa story or something reminiscent of one, I also try to forget that story once it's told. So please join me as we hear all about Tinker, Tailor, Tulpa, Why. Hi, Kevin. I've contemplated for over an hour now as to how I should begin this paragraph and how to put my experiences into words as best allowed in my vocabulary. Caution advised, there is a brief mention of murder, and I haven't given any names since it doesn't really matter. All I could come up with is that my life, from kid to adulthood, could be described as a circumstantial and psychologically motivated paranormal roller coaster. One can never pinpoint a single instance in my life and say with complete certainty that this is in fact a paranormal experience. My experiences per se will give you a very strong sense that this could very easily happen under normal reality. But it does also dangle you on the verge of what if. I myself had these logical doubts about the many experiences you've narrated over real individuals out in the world. Which is why I decided to be more of a believer and open myself to judgment from them. If anyone would like to explain these experiences with their purview, I'm eager to know. Both my husband and mother brushed these events off, stating them to be just my imagination, being incapable of fathoming the spine-freezing moments I was subjected to. As a child, I was always very curious about the paranormal and anything that was spooky or ghostly. I would be very eager to be frightened by the unexplainable sounds around the house, or to find a hidden door somewhere, or to just have a nightmare. I wasn't very scared of these things as a kid, and I thought it was just entertainment. I would dig up articles on haunted bungalows, read about real-life hauntings, and watch spooky videos on YouTube. This would go on for 3 to 4 days, around which the paranormal events would start to occur. And my mother would scold me to stop watching these videos. This cycle continued till I was around 8 years old. The events that occurred were dreams of my mother hanging dead from a window, or scenes of my home fallen into rubble, or animals torn apart. These were repetitive dreams I used to get all the time, and as time passed, I turned myself to expect them whenever I dug deep about the paranormal. In 10th standard, I started to experience sleep paralysis. Initially, I was petrified. But as I kept researching the phenomena, I began developing coping mechanisms for it. So much so, I could identify I was having an episode and therefore could remove myself from the situation peacefully. This, however, took a turn for the worse when my interest in the paranormal was reignited in 12th standard. I'd started to pen down short horror stories for fun. Around this time, my sleep paralysis demon started showing up. It was a frail, washed-out body of my deceased grandmother, hair that ran down to her feet. Initially, she would just stare at me from a corner of the doorframe. But as the days progressed and I refused to stop writing, these dreams started to take a physical form. Whenever she tried to hit me or scratch me or pull my hair in a dream, I would feel it in the physical world. I would wake up with minor bruises, scratches on my body, and they'd burn. If this twisted version of my grandmother yanked at my hair, I would wake feeling physical pain on my scalp from where she had pulled it. Let's take a quick break to tell you about a wonderful product. Did you know there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our world? From the food we eat to the air we breathe, even the skincare we use, they could be messing with your hormones and making you feel like you're stuck in a mystery of your own. And just like a plot twist in a true crime story or one of those unexpected scary moments in our submitters' experiences, hormonal changes like premenopause or menopause can strike at the most unexpected times. And suddenly you're dealing with mood swings, sleepless nights, and all those other symptoms that make you feel like you're losing control. But here's the good news. This is one mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. Just take the 2-minute free quiz from Happy Mammoth, answer a few simple questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. The results are impressive. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. According to a survey, 86% of the women started losing weight. 77% say it improved their mood. And the biggest benefit? 100% of the women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today. Of course, I shared this with my mother, but she told me to stop writing, saying, "Do that and everything will just be fine." These dreams became so real that during the day when I would be doing my homework, I would spot the same woman from the corner of my eye. I would freeze up, not knowing how to react, because no one told me what this was, nor what to expect. All they told me was to ignore it and it will go away, which is what I did. I ignored it and it disappeared. Around this time, a small boy, my age, began to show up as well. He wasn't evil. In fact, he would play around with my eraser whilst I studied and made it disappear, then magically reappear later. I never took the boy seriously or paid attention to what he did or where he was, since he never harmed me. Then came a point wherein the hair pulling and the scratching started to happen whilst I was awake. It was this point I decided to stop writing. I'd penned 11 stories by then, with the dreams to one day publish. But I thought that might make things worse. One of my friends had told me that I was inviting evil when I bury myself in evil thoughts for stories, which unfortunately cannot be validated. Astonishingly, 1 month after I stopped writing, my sleep paralysis vanished, my dreams stopped, there were no more good or bad dreams. The peace remained for several years, as long as I didn't give evil space in my life. Recently, I started watching a series called Evil, which portrays a skeptic psychologist, a priest in training, and a techie handyman who investigate and solve murders that could have a possible possession. And they try to arrive at a practical or logical explanation until something supernatural is confirmed. Yes, this show does have a spooky factor, but since it was actively trying to show that there's always a logical explanation, I thought it would not trigger anything in me. Mind you, I would be alone at night, since my husband works the night shift. Within 2 weeks of watching this series, my sleep paralysis was back. Moreover, I would actively hear my second bedroom door bang shut every night after I latched it. The wardrobes in the house are wooden wall fitted with magnetic closes, which makes them snap in place with a thud sound. Once, as I was sitting on the bed with my back facing the wardrobe, one of these doors snapped shut with force. I froze and every little hair strand on my body stood up. I waited to hear more, but there was utter silence. Being nighttime, the sound echoed throughout the house. The door was kept wide open so it couldn't have shut on its own. Another time, a photo frame kept on a high shelf plunged itself a couple of centimetres vertically into the air and then dropped flat to the ground. This particularly gripped my soul since it was a childhood photo of me. And if it had just fallen down, well, the distance it covered from the wall would not be practical. It was as if it was pushed from someone behind the photograph and in front of the wall. Another instance being the AC remote falling from the corner of the bed. A short distance, of course, but it made 5 tapping sounds on the ground before it landed. This wasn't possible as the land was carpeted. It should have been muted. Eventually, I had to stop watching the series since the later episodes were not available in our country. These occurrences also came to a halt. We've moved from that residence now, and I haven't experienced anything yet. This really does make me wonder if this is all in my head. But if it is, how do you explain the physical pain inflicted and the scars? How do I explain any of this and not sound simply crazy? Why am I the only one seeing things and having to face all these sounds, but they never happen when someone else is there with me? Am I delusional? Is something wrong with me mentally? Am I doing this to myself unconsciously? I have a theory that the mind tells you what you want to hear or see, almost like a confirmation bias. Is this that? Or is something really going on? Help me out if you or anyone listening can. And I really need to thank you, Kevin. Your show has given me the courage to speak about my crazy. And I've never felt accepted like this, even though I don't know anyone here. Best wishes from India. Wow. Well, firstly, thank you so much for your email. It is an astonishing story. It is the perfect example of a minisode for me. Our Patreons will tell you I love our Dark Bite series, which features many shorter stories, because they often leave what you have left us with there, a mystery, several jump-off points to go and investigate further. I think the questions you ask at the end of your email are not only perfectly logical questions to ask yourself in that situation, they to me are also validators of your experience. Now, you do ask what my opinion is, and of course what our listeners' opinion is too. But I can only say from my point of view, I don't think you're delusional, I don't think you're crazy, I don't think you're unconsciously doing this to yourself. I do think you have summoned or developed a tulpa. It may be the energies in either your family line, yourself, or the house you were in at the time, but you definitely seem to have some form of ability to not necessarily put pen to paper and it becomes reality, but more to open a door, like your friend suggested. I am a full believer in the tulpa, and I think it's one of the most terrifying ideas or theories out there in terms of the spirit world, because it's the whole pink elephant situation. Don't think of a pink elephant, you think of a pink elephant. Imagine if it was something in the spirit world causing malevolence in your own home, and you were told to fix it, don't think about it. I'm sorry, but I would be feeding into that thing daily, and God knows what the result would be. But someone telling me to simply stop thinking about it would not work with me. And that's why I do always put trigger warnings around anything to do with a tulpa-esque situation. Because our minds are arguably the most terrifying things. And that's without any sort of spirit involvement. If you do add the possibility your mind is capable of creating a malevolent spirit, if you give it enough attention, this is the point where I say, try not to give that too much thought, go for a run, a jog, and don't dwell on these things. But to our writer, and I apologize, I'm unsure if your name is India, you're from India, and you haven't given your name and wish to remain anonymous. But I will say thank you so much for such a wonderful dark minisode to kick us into the second half of season 19. And don't forget, guys, if you have your own experience, like our submitter today, take courage from them and sit down for 5 minutes and send in your email. Because the one thing we guarantee, be it on a minisode, a main episode, or even on Dark Bites for our Patreons, we will put your experience in front of ears. Because this is not some sort of situation I just want to get content. I want to share experiences of the paranormal so I learn as much as you learn. And believe me, although that was never my intention initially, I'm so happy and grateful that this is now happening week on week. So please send your experiences, no matter the length, to contact@thedarkparanormal.com, and you might find yourself as a subject of a minisode, a full episode of The Dark Paranormal, or sending me and our wonderful Patreons down the pathways we love to go and explore and think about theories regarding. So once more, contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And until next time, stay safe and take care.